New year, new you, or at least a new uniform. If you're in healthcare, it's the perfect time to upgrade your scrubs to Figs. If you've tuned in before, you know we love sharing clinical pearls, practical tips and tricks for real-world care you often won't find in your textbooks. While we're at it, we should mention one of our favorite hacks that completely changed how we show up for work, Figs. Figs makes scrubs designed for performance. Lightweight, breathable, antimicrobial, and functional details like moisture-wicking fabric and pockets where you actually need them. My favorite Figs are my black joggers. Plus, with new limited edition colors and styles, Figs is putting the fresh in uniform refresh. Scrubs, outerwear, footwear, accessories, and more. You'll be looking sharp, feeling good, and ready to take on anything. 2026 is here. Let's do this. Take 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Thanks so much for joining for another episode of Run the List, a medical education podcast designed by Dr. Naveen Kumar, an attending gastroenterologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital, Emily Gutowski, a Harvard medical student planning to go into internal medicine, and Dr. Walker Redd, myself, an internal medicine resident here at Brigham and Women's Hospital. As a quick disclaimer, this podcast is meant for informational and educational purposes only and should not be understood as medical advice under any circumstances.
While we go through all the different areas within internal medicine, we thought it would be great to take the time to talk with some of those who have gone into a specialty field and done further fellowship training to get a sense for what their career looks like and what drew them to it in the first place. Today, I, Walker Redd, I'm going to be having a conversation with one of our attending gastroenterologists here at Brigham and Women's, Naveen Kumar. All right, Naveen, thank you so much for joining us. To get started here, why don't we just hear a little bit about how you became interested in gastroenterology in the first place.
So when I was in medical school, I actually was probably more inclined to do cardiology. I think I loved the physiology. I just felt like with cardiology, you could really understand what was going on in a patient.
Absolutely.
Based on the physiology, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, totally.
Then I got to the end of med school, and then by that time, I'd done my clerkships, and it was clear I wanted to do something procedural. But I love medicine. I felt like medicine had my people, and I love talking about physiology and pathophysiology. So it was clear that surgery wasn't right for me. Medicine seemed to be the right home, but again, I wanted to do something procedural. So then I started thinking, okay, what are the other procedural fields within medicine?
Right.
Besides cardiology. And then I started looking into GI a bit more. And to be honest, one of the biggest draws for me with GI was just the people. Everyone tells you this, like you have to find your people when you're looking.
Right, I've definitely heard that.
Yeah. And I just felt like the GI people were my people. They have like a great sense of humor, right? Because they're dealing.
Absolutely.
Right? They're dealing with this, like, you know, the digestive tract, and there's things there that are humorous at times.
So, absolutely.
I love that piece. And then I love the procedural component of the field. And then I think there is a ton of medicine in GI, and you just get to deal with so many different organ systems within the same field. So I think it was like those three things, right? So it was like physiology, pathophysiology is a big core, mm-hmm. The procedural element, and then the people.
Absolutely. So I think I'm hearing from you that the people you're actually working with within the field really meant a lot to you. And I think that totally makes sense. It's going to be who you're spending your career working with. Yeah. On the flip side, too, was there anything about the patients that drew you to it and sort of what types of patients have you enjoyed taking care of as a gastroenterologist?
Nice. Yeah, that's a great point, because I think the cool thing in GI is that a lot of people are coming to you with symptomatic conditions.
Sure.
And so you actually have the opportunity to make people feel better.
Right.
And I think in that sense, a lot of patients are motivated to follow your recommendations because they actually derive the benefit from following through. So I like that piece. I mean, there's great reasons to do preventative care, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's hard because the patients just, they don't feel any different if they do it or they don't.
Exactly.
So I love that piece about GI, actually making people feel better. And then it was a longitudinal aspect of the field as well. Like, you see the patient once and then they are yours, which for the vast majority of patients, it's a great thing that you are able to have this longitudinal relationship.
Sure, that has to make it really rewarding, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
See them over time and see them feel better.
Right, and so I'm in, you know, now I'm in my third year as an attending, so I've seen most of my patients that I met early on, like four or five times, and it's fine. I mean, like, you don't realize this in med school or in residency, but once you are actually someone's attending physician, they really latch onto you in a wonderful way. And they consider you their doctor for the rest of their life. And I think that's just really cool that you have that in GI, the longitudinal aspect.
Right.
Care.
It sounds like it brings you a lot of meaning.
It does. Yeah. And there's also that piece with GI, you know, so there's this like kind of like more chronic care, but there's also the acute care that you do when I'm the inpatient attending and I'm dealing with patients who are in the hospital and some are having life-threatening illnesses, life-threatening bleeds that we've talked about in earlier podcasts, you know, end-stage cirrhosis. There's a lot of acuity as well. Where you feel like you get that immediate satisfaction when you find a bleeding ulcer and you're able to treat it. And you know you did something that day that potentially saved that person's life. So there's just so many different avenues of satisfaction, I think, with the patient care.
And it sounds like you just get that exposure to the full spectrum, from people coming in with an acute need that you need to address right then to something that's maybe more chronic but still affects their daily life.
Yeah.
And you can help them with over time.
Yeah, exactly. So like, so how my week works is, so I'm a little different because I am, as you know, I do a lot of education stuff with our medical students. So what my week looks like is I do 2 half days of clinic where I'm seeing these, you know, less acute, more chronic patient conditions. And then I do 2 half days of endoscopy where I do procedures on my own patients. That's another wonderful thing I think about.
Oh, wow.
The GI feel is that you're doing your own patients' procedures, and they really appreciate that.
I'm sure.
Right. So, and then you also do a lot of procedures from just primary care doctors or other referring doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 half days of clinic, 2 half days of endoscopy. And then my situation is unique because I have about half my time protected to teach in the clerkship as well as in the first year's physical exam course. So that's kind of like what my average week looks like. But then 2 to 3 weeks of the year, I'm on an inpatient service with our fellows. And that's when we're seeing the much more acute patient conditions.
Sure.
And then I take a call about once or twice overnight a month. But I do that with a fellow. So it's, I mean, this is like kind of the beauty of being in the academic setting is you're working as a team with trainees. And I think you learn a lot more in that scenario. And it feels like you're all in it together.
I mean, that sounds like such an appealing sort of mix of things you can do. And along those same lines, you're able to do all of that as a general gastroenterologist, right? So
yeah.
What are some other sort of paths that people can take now?
Nice.
Within
so,
the GI field?
That's good. Well, yeah, there's a lot of different avenues you can take. So, you know, some of the more formalized things are advanced endoscopy, which is another year of training after. So GI fellowship is generally 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And then you do an additional 1 year to get training in advanced endoscopy.
Okay.
And that's for people who really see themselves being more proceduralist and spending most of their time in the endoscopy suite, doing things like ERCP or endoscopic ultrasound, or even now bariatrics is becoming a thing.
Right,
the
there's all these really advanced procedures.
Yeah,
you can learn how to do.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one path you can take. Another, you know, pretty formalized path is inflammatory bowel disease specialization. And so that's also generally a 1 year post general GI fellowship to get special training in IBD. Hepatology, obviously transplant hepatology is another field that you can get more training in. That's generally another year,
right,
after fellowship. And then others just kind of carve their own niche out. And so there's some pancreas fellowships where you can get additional training in chronic conditions of the pancreas as well as acute. So there's a lot of different ways to go about it. Motility is another area that people spend additional training in. Oftentimes you can do that within your own GI, 3 year GI fellowship, but there's also opportunities to do additional years. So yeah, a lot of different ways you can
That's amazing. Even once you've chosen GI,
exactly,
there's still a lot of paths to
take. Yeah, exactly.
So
I've stuck in general GI.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, the types of patients I generally see are patients with GERD, difficulty swallowing, epigastric pain, irritable bowel syndrome, constipation, all these things. But what's great is that I often see everything. And then if I ever feel like at a certain point, okay, this person needs a subspecialist, then I can refer them out.
Oh, interesting.
So it's kind of nice. Yeah.
Right. Once it meets that threshold,
right,
for you can just have to go see a colleague.
Exactly. So like I definitely have my cohort of liver disease patients. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great. You definitely get to see a lot of different stuff within general GI.
Perfect. And before we wrap up here, one other thing I just wanted to ask you, you know, now retrospectively, is there anything you wish you knew as a medical student or a resident about different career options or any other general advice you want our listeners to
No. Yeah. I mean, I think, and you feel this too, Walker, I think the hardest thing about figuring out what you want to do is you don't know what you're in, what you're getting into until you're actually there.
Right. Especially with these specialty fields.
Right.
It's just hard to really know what it's going to be like.
Exactly. So my advice probably for medical students and even interns or early residents is be like, just talk to as many attendings as you can, get a sense of what their schedule looks like, what's their quality of life, what's their work-life balance like. Talk to the attendings as opposed to talking to the residents or the later year medical students about the career, because only the people who are actually in the career know what it's like.
Right.
So I would say just spend your time with people you trust, ask them all the questions you have, and then also the whole time along you're doing this process, think about who your people are and who you want to be with, because I think that ends up being very important. You end up spending so much time, right, with your colleagues and in the hospital, you have to like the people.
Totally. You have to find who you gravitate towards because
yeah.
Though training is still long,
yeah.
The actual career is in attending much, much longer.
Exactly.
So that's very important to remember. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. That is all for this episode, and please join us again for Run the List.